Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
With large swaths of the workforce working remotely, some employers have growing concerns about employee productivity as well as information security and confidentiality. While some monitoring of employees will occur at virtually every organization, the degree to which that monitoring is implemented and how can be the difference between getting useful information and accidentally learning protected information about your employees. Additionally, employers are struggling to protect their trade secrets and other confidential information among employees that are outside the watchful eye of their employers. We are pleased to have with us today two attorneys from Jones Walker to discuss the issue of employee monitoring, as well as how employers can protect themselves from trade secret and confidential information threats. First, we have with us Joseph Levine, a partner at Jones Walker. As a lead attorney on Jones Walker's trade secret and non-compete team, Joe focuses his practice on prosecuting and defending claims of employee misconduct involving trade secret violations, unfair trade practices, non-compete violations, invasion of privacy, Computer Fraud and Abuse Act issues, theft, and related disputes. He also advises clients on employment policies and practices and regularly negotiates employment agreements for employers. We also have with us today PJ Key. He's also a partner at Jones Walker. PJ regularly represents clients in federal and state courts. He has been on trial teams that have not only successfully obtained and fended off injunctions related to trade secrets, but also prevailed on the merits at trial. PJ also litigates other complex commercial and employment matters that involve breach of contract claims, business torts, fraud claims, fiduciary duty actions, defamation claims, invasion of privacy claims, wage and hour disputes, Title VII claims, and appellate advocacy. Thank you so much, Joe and PJ, for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. We look forward to it.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for having us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. We're really excited about this being a SHRM accredited episode also. So an extra thank you for being part of that. We did do a reader survey ahead of time to just ask if any HR professionals had questions about these topics. We got a few, and one of them was, to what extent can we monitor employees if they're using their own equipment at home? Naturally, this is a situation that's arisen probably more than we'd like. You know, many employees got sent home at the same time the organizations were really taking a careful look at their budget. And, you know, not everybody did the due diligence of making sure that people had company equipment at home and settled for people using their own computers and devices at home. So that means there's some considerations there. Any thoughts?
Yeah, Jim, this is Joe Levine. You know, when thinking about that question, I think it raises a couple of different legal issues for HR folks to consider. One, obviously, is the privacy issues. You know, can you monitor these folks when they're utilizing their own equipment? Two is potential FLSA issues, Fair Labor Standards Act issues. You know, you have these folks who are working from home. Are they working more than 40 hours or not? No. Are they required to be paid overtime for that? Three, obviously, protection issues, which we'll probably focus more on here today, protection of trade secrets and confidential information. And then four, productivity issues. Are the employees actually performing work while they're at home? And how can you determine if that's the case or if they're just sitting on the couch watching soap operas? So, I think those are the four things that question raises. You know, on privacy issues, the answer is no. I mean, from a practical matter, you would not be able to monitor an employee's personal laptop just because you wouldn't have the access to do so. Now, could you, if you ask the employee, hey, we want to be able to monitor you on your personal laptop, and we want you to sign an authorization that allows us to do that, and we ask you to please provide your laptop to us so that we can provide tracking software on it, then yeah, I think you could. But short of that, then the answer is no. You cannot, from a practical standpoint, and should not try and track an employee who's utilizing their personal device.
Yeah, those are some good points. Let's just talk a little bit about how that changes when people are working from company property in their homes.
Yeah, so company property is a little bit different. Generally the company will have the ability to monitor those devices and accounts. And when we talk about devices and accounts, typically we're talking about a computer, generally a laptop, cellular phone, and then email accounts, cloud-based file sharing accounts, those sorts of things. So when the company owns those things, it has greater discretion to monitor them and see what is occurring within those devices and accounts and systems. Now, with that said, companies still should have policies in place that inform the employee, hey, this stuff is company equipment. These are company accounts. You have no right to privacy when utilizing these devices and accounts, and the company has the right to monitor them and look to see what's going on in those devices and accounts. I'll tell you just kind of a quick side story. We again, handle lots of trade secret theft, unfair trade practice cases, and many times we have the FBI involved in those cases when it's serious cases of theft. And we put the information together and provide it to the FBI to assist with their investigation. And always the first question that the FBI asks us is, do you have a policy that states you have the right to obtain this information that you're providing to us? And if you don't show them that policy, the signed acknowledgement from the employee that says, yes, I understand these email accounts belong to the company and they have the right to access them and take information from them, then the FBI won't even look at the package of information that you provide to them. So it is important to have those policies in place to avoid potential invasion of privacy claims from the employees that they say, hey, I did not know that you were monitoring me or looking at my emails, then they may have some type of invasion of privacy claim against the company related to that.
And Jim, just to piggyback on that, this is PJ. That's one thing when we get a call from an employer or a company asking us to look into, you know, maybe some suspicious activity. You know, it's one thing we want to make sure we have is something, some kind of acknowledgement, something in writing showing that, you know, the employee was at some point advised not to expect that any communications on company computers or company email accounts, that they'd have any expectation of privacy. And we want to see that before we start doing our investigation. So from the HR side, I think it's extremely important to make sure that they're is some acknowledgement, some signed acknowledgement that the employees who are allowed to use company computers and company email accounts are acknowledging that they understand that there is no expectation of privacy.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That was actually a question that we got asked was, you know, do we have to disclose what monitoring we're doing to our employees? And I can only imagine that with the move to home, I know it's been over 6 months since most people got sent home, you know, the policy that may be fit, and we're definitely going to talk about policies a little bit more later on, but the policy that fits for an in-office environment doesn't necessarily cover you when you send people home because there's going to be all kinds of new situations, right?
Yeah, well, again, the policy generally covers the, you know, all company equipment, devices and accounts. Once they go home and if they're utilizing personal equipment, then the company should at that time reinforce the company's policies related to confidential information and trade secrets and say, hey, look, this stuff is confidential and proprietary. And you know, really the best practice would be you cannot, while you may be using your computer at home to work, we do not want you to download any confidential proprietary trade secret information to that device. If you need access to that information to do your job, you need to access it through a company owned portal that the company has access to that does not allow downloading it. So that's really the best practice. And again, you would, with respect to the monitoring aspect of it, you wouldn't be monitoring what they're doing on their device, but you would be able to monitor any activity as it relates to the confidential information and trade secrets that you're really worried about protecting, and you will restrict the downloading of that to the personal device.
And one thing, you know, that could be, you know, a quick edit to a policy that was drafted with the expectation that employees are going to be predominantly working from the office is just to include some language that extends or makes very clear to the employees about the expectation of privacy, that if they're, for instance, using Citrix or some kind of remote session from their private computer, but still logging into the, you know, the company's network and using those email accounts or accessing company documents, that when they're in that Citrix session or remote session, that there is no expectation of privacy there either, and that an employer could be monitoring what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, and before we get a little bit deeper into the information security portion of this podcast, there was one question, and I've actually asked a number of people this, and I can't seem to get a good answer. So I hope you guys are ready. mostly it's been because I've been talking to people that aren't lawyers, and they don't want to make a stand one way or another. But it's basically, you have the situation where lots of people are on Zoom calls or other kinds of video chat calls in their homes, and you know, any good HR person worth their salt knows that there are certain things you don't want to know about your employees, because once you know them, there's actions you have to take. And that includes any kind of protected information, like the presence or existence of a disability is a really big one. And let's use that one as an example. You know, you may not know that your employee, say, has diabetes, for example, but they're in a video call and through some fault of theirs, they left some of their medication out or something like that. You know, we're really, and not everybody has a home office. So a lot of people are in kind of chaotic situations where they're in a corner, they're in a closet, they're at the kitchen table. You know, if they have kids running around, it's a chaotic situation. I know quite well myself what that's like. What should an HR person do when they see something like that, if anything?
Yeah, this is Joe. So, you know, that is a difficult question, raises several different things with your example, with the diabetes, obviously, the ADA comes into play, and whether or not now the company needs to say whether they regard the individual as having some type of disability. I mean, I think you would just take the practical approach of it and say, hey, look, you know, I noticed you have some medication out. You may want to, you know, you may not want to have that there. Do you have it there on purpose? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, now down the road, you know, does that raise an issue? Should you document that and say, hey, I had a Zoom call with Joe and he had medication out and it was disclosed, well, inadvertently to me that he had this issue. You know, I don't think that there's a requirement that you do that, but typically in the HR world, as all of your listeners probably know, it's generally better to document something than not, and that way you have a record of it and say this is what happened. Now, obviously, you can't take any type of action against the employee based upon any disability or any other protected category, but I do think that it would be a good idea to document it.
And another idea, just, you know, thinking about ways to maybe prevent it is, you know, for Zoom calls, if you can require participants to use one of those virtual backgrounds to where all you see is the face or just, you know, the body and you can't really see anything else. I don't know how practical, if you can really, you know, if you can really put that into practice and enforce it, but it's just an idea of trying to prevent that situation from happening.
Yeah, I can just imagine. That's really good advice. I can just imagine, you know, the court cases that are going to come up where, you know, someone's going to claim discrimination, a wrongful termination, and they're going to say, it's because of my disability. The employer is going to say, we didn't know about that disability. And then the employee can say, oh, but they saw it on my, on our Zoom calls, or, you know, something like that. And it just seems like a kind of a brand new situation.
Yeah, agreed. Had not seen that yet, but would not doubt that it's, that those types of cases are coming down the pipe.
Let's switch gears over to information security. I know it's always a concern for employers, or at least it should be. I'm kind of curious if you're seeing more interest in this area or field since the pandemic has started.
Well, I think that there's always been an interest in protecting a company's confidential, proprietary, and trade secret information. Generally, what we hear from clients is that that, along with the human capital, the employees, are really the lifeblood of the company that it needs in order to be successful. So I think that it's always been a concern of companies. Now, obviously, with the pandemic and with folks working from home, people have been thinking about, hey, have I done enough to protect my confidential, proprietary, and trade secret information? Do I need to do things differently now that I have a workforce that is working differently, working in a more remote capacity rather than, you know, in the office? So I do think that that type of those types of concerns have arisen.
Yeah. And we're, you know, we're in a unique situation now. I mean, there's always been remote workers, but it's never been like it is now. You either had organizations that had a remote workforce, so they already had the policies and procedures in place to deal with that, or you had companies where someone was just home for a couple of days and, you know, they had a system for handling that. But now you have all these organizations that just send everybody home. You know, it was, we need to send them home right now, and then we will deal with all the other stuff later. And I look at all that other stuff is kind of like a pipeline, because they really had to, organizations really had to prioritize what they were going to get to and when. And anytime you have a situation like that, things are going to drop off the docket, or, you know, they're going to fall out of your view. The things in the beginning of that list are going to get done first, and then the other things might be forgotten about. You know, at the same time, you have employees at home with all this access to trade secrets, confidential company information. There might be in a tender situation. They might be financially strapped, which are often, you know, motivations for people to perform, you know, to unethically, I guess I'll say it. Are you seeing an increase in cases surrounding privacy concerns, or cases where employees are being, you know, caught in the act of stealing information?
So, Jim, this is PJ. I don't think we've seen an increase just yet, because, you know, one thing with information theft is usually the motivating factor is you're getting ready to leave to go either start a competitive business or you're going to a competitor, right? So right now, I don't think too many people are, you know, since the pandemic have the opportunities to really switch and go to a competitor at the moment. Now people have been laid off and by necessity or will be staying in their field likely and trying to go to a competitor. But I don't think we've seen a big increase just yet. I think it's likely coming, but really with the information theft, it's usually when times are good and their employees have a lot of opportunities.
That makes a lot of sense, you know, and part of what's happening now is, you know, I just had the situation just yesterday, a colleague of mine was let go from our organization, and now they have to have a discussion about how does he get his equipment back to them. You know, our office isn't open, and they, you know, basically closed the building. It's one of those cases where, like, let's say you have a chief technology person, you're going to let them go. You would do some preparation before you let them go. You know, you might restrict access. You would have a whole process, and you would be very much in control of what that looks like. now they have all the stuff at home. They might have backups. They might, you know, you just don't have the same level of knowledge about what's happening. And you have this window between when you say, you know, we're sorry, but you know, we have to let you go, and when you might regain access to that equipment.
Yeah. So Jim, this is Joe. Correct. So companies need to be more diligent than ever in planning out those terminations. If you know you have an employee that has access to and possession of confidential proprietary trade secret information that is important to the company, you should have a plan as to how are we going to conduct this termination, and what are we going to do to make sure that we get this information back from the employee at the time of termination. You know, the old way that it happened, you know, someone always got fired on a Friday afternoon, and they get called into the office and their email got shut down, and they had the devices were obtained prior to the termination occurring. Obviously that's not the case when you have someone who is working remotely, and the individuals who are responsible for getting that information are working remotely. It is going to be more difficult, but possible, and should be done if the company really wants to make sure that they're protecting that information. I'll give you and the listeners another quick story.
Please do.
We had a client that had an individual that the client was based in New Orleans, Louisiana, but it was a national and in fact international business. The head of Asian sales actually lived in New York, multiple trips through New York. Multiple trips through Europe and Asia. He was suspected of theft of information and starting to form his own business and misappropriating business opportunities for that new business with our clients, Chinese and European agents. Because of that, the company had all the proper policies in place that they could monitor the employees' equipment. The equipment was all owned by the company. They were able to real-time monitor the employees' WeChat conversations with the company's agent, Asian agents and European agents to confirm its suspicion of theft of opportunities and theft of information. Because of that, and there were a couple of other employees of the company that were engaged in the conspiracy, none of which were in the same area. I think we have one in New York, one in North Carolina, and maybe another one in Pennsylvania. So the company decided to terminate these individuals, obviously, and had we had the evidence of the theft. So we had police authorities go with a representative of the company to the houses of the individuals simultaneously, and get all of the equipment and information back, and then at the same time immediately filed an injunction in federal court to prohibit them from utilizing any confidential proprietary or trade secret information that they may have taken from the company. So obviously that is a very extreme scenario, but you know, if there's a situation like that, there are steps that you could take to make sure that you're getting your information back and protecting it to the best of your ability.
Well, I really like that story. Obviously not because there's a bunch of criminals, but just it really illustrates what kind of coordination would be required to ensure you're protected even while you're taking action.
Yeah, and Jim, one thing we always emphasize in any seminar or presentation that Joe and I give is within the organization, you know, there really needs to be good open lines of communication between HR, for instance, and IT. And, you know, if there's some activity going on that looks abnormal, right, a lot of downloads happening from this one employee or this group of employees, you know, that needs to be communicated within the organization to see, is this a problem? Is this a potential issue that we're going to, or is this normal business and that there's a reason for it? But that's where the real-time monitoring and just being aware of these issues can really come into play and help the company out a lot.
Context of white supremacy. Had to take a pause, pour a little bit of smoothie out for old Jeff Toobin. Woo! Terminated this week from the New Yorker. Poor Jeff Toobin. Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday the 13th of November 2020. So I have been told. This is our weekly broadcast, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. If you have suggestions, any type of suggestions, things that would be helpful for victims of racism working from home, tips that would be helpful for victims, non-white people, who are still in a workplace environment, disposable employees, they call them, tips if you need to get time off, tips for getting a raise, tips for dealing with coworkers who don't socially distance, they still want to come up and give you a high five and a chest bump, that sort of thing. Any helpful tidbits, pieces of codification that you think would help a non-white person if you figured out how to solve some of these problems for yourself in your work environment, that's what we need. Please dial in and share the number 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Alrighty. A few tips or a few thoughts on the audio segment where we began. I guess one, folks can let me know if they think that's a waste of time and we would rather discuss or, you know, hear what folks who emailed in. Oh, my gosh, forgot the email. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Same applies. UntilJustice@gmail.com. But if you think the audio reports that we start workplace racism, if you think they're of some value, let us know. Make sure we're not wasting time at all. But I thought that report was quite revealing. We're talking about the folks who are working from home, and it was from the perspective of the employer and what the employer needs to do to protect information, protecting the company, that sort of thing, not the employee. But, you know, you can, from that, I think you can extrapolate our needs. But they were talking about, number one, the monitoring component. In my view, if you are a victim of white supremacy, you have already been notified, right? Like, they might tell you, they might not tell you. It might be rogue surveillance where they just have other employees who work there who are snooping on you. The system of white supremacy is about the surveillance of black people in particular, non-white people in total. So this is just another component. Now, if you are working from home, and we certainly have Cows listeners who are working from home, Zoom conferences at all, man, I would not be on my device. Now, we don't have maximum power, but I would be super, for all, everything that you just heard, we are not going to be Zooming on my personal, not even my cell phone. Like I said that before, like people were talking about having to do texting on your cell phone or something. Like, no way. Like, if text messaging is a part of the job, you need to give me a cell phone. Like, if it's something beyond texting to let somebody know that I got sick or something like that, like, we got to be sending texts on a daily basis about things. Oh yeah, you need to supply me with a phone, because I absolutely not. Like, and that way I'll know this is not my machine, whatever it is, tablet, phone, laptop, whatever. This is not my device. This is the device I am allocated. Very different. And that's all I would use it for. Jeff Toobin, if he had been listening to the context of white supremacy neutralizing workplace racism, he would not have been fired. He'd still be with the New Yorker writing about O.J. Simpson, Donald Trump, doing it all. When you're on the company's device, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not checking my email. I'm not going over my wish list. I'm not even checking the news. Like, nothing. What is this for? Work. Once we're done with the work, what I said before, turn it off, close it, put it back in the case, put it in the trunk of your vehicle in the garage. You don't have a garage, close it, put it in the case, make sure it's off. Put it, if you have a spare bedroom, put it in the closet there. You don't have a spare bedroom, put it in your coat closet. You don't have a coat closet, close it, put it in the case, put it underneath the sofa. But it is somewhere tucked away. We don't have any accidental, oop, the screen recorder, screen capture was on, and I was checking my email and all the rest of it, or they were capturing audio. I think they had a big scandal where they gave out tablets to children in a major school system, and somehow the audio was recording what was taking place in the child's environment, that sort of thing. That's, it would be off, if you can, off in the trunk in the garage, somewhere way away from, you know, where we will be at. But not on your personal computer. I think we even had some folks who said, oh no, I would rather go into an emptied office space where there are little to no other coworkers and work on your device, as opposed to having any sort of monitoring and all that on my personal devices. A plus. Anyway, they continue with the rest of it. You got to make sure that employees are notified that they're going to be monitored and that they don't have any expectation of privacy. As I said, that's already the case. If you listen to the cows, should be thinking that way. Also thought it was important, they talked about with HR, if there might be suspicion, right? There are a lot of downloads and we have concerns that might be proprietary information that's being used in an incorrect manner, that the IT department would have to be in communication with HR to say, hey, you know, we might want to take a look at this, make sure this is all, you know, above the table, as they say, nothing inappropriate happening here. Lots of that sort of, nothing incorrect about that from the business perspective, but just I hear a lot of times we talk about HR on the program, and again, just affirming HR is there for the company's protection, not you, the employee, per se. And that would be another illustration. They're there for the company's protection, not you. Even when they gave the anecdote towards the end about collusion, right, some of the employees, I suspect that these were probably individuals classified as white. I could be wrong, could totally be wrong, but they were talking about their business European and Asian business contacts. They didn't say the toxic black male was out there, you know, world stakeholder in business deals and what have you, or folks on the continent. They didn't say that. They said Europeans, Asians. But anyway, these are criminals, so maybe it's good that they weren't mentioned. But they said these folks had, I guess, had lots of communiques and been trying to get all coordinate everything and getting this stolen data so that they could launch their new enterprise. And wow, sounds like more of that unjust networking, which seems to be very common, in the workplace, where white people are talking sometimes about racism, white supremacy activities, other times just other corrupt and criminal behavior. But it seems to be pretty rife in the workplace. So just be mindful of that, again, about what you share, what you bring to the workplace, even the folks that you're around, because they're probably engaged in some of this unjust networking, too. Hear that at the courthouse down in Florida on a weekly basis. Anywho, speaking of old Jeff Toobin, and I think they mentioned even in that report about the Zoom, right? They said, you know, they were talking about medications and stuff. Try to make sure that you don't have things in the background if you can. Use one of those digital screens and what have you, things that some of our listeners have given the brilliant advice before, just so you can avoid those type of errors. Excellent, right? But then old Jeff Toobin, the example of what can go wrong when you don't have a code, about how you're going to conduct yourself via Zoom. So old Jeff Toobin, fired this week by the New Yorker. We are going to be reading his book, Run of His Life, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Woo! I mean, you couldn't have paid me to read this book before or to watch the series. I didn't even watch it. I complained on the air about watching it. Brother Thomas in New York dialed in when it's telling us about it, and other folks, and even I love Cuba Gooding Jr. No way. Now, 2 weeks, Jeff Toobin. Anywho, he was fired this week, and that is the backdrop for why we're reading it. This is the whole backdrop. Nothing to do with the juice at all. Woo, Jeff Toobin, star journalist, make sure we get it. The New Yorker has fired star journalist Jeffrey Toobin after an investigation into his behavior during a work video call last month. The magazine's parent company, Condé Nast, said on Wednesday. As a result of the internal investigation, Mr. Toobin is no longer affiliated with our company, Condé Nast's chief people officer Stan Duncan said in a staff note, which was reviewed by the New York Times. Mr. Toobin, 60, reported the news of his firing on Twitter. I was fired today by the New Yorker after 27 years as a staff writer. I will always love the magazine, will miss my colleagues, and will look forward to reading their work. In his memo, Mr. Duncan wrote, I want to assure everyone that we take workplace matters seriously. We are committed to fostering an environment where everyone feels respected and upholds our standards of conduct. Mr. Toobin did not immediately reply to a request for comment. The New Yorker suspended Mr. Toobin after he exposed himself during a Zoom call with employees of the magazine and WNYC Radio. The call was held to discuss a future episode of a podcast that The New Yorker and the public radio station produce. During breakout discussions, Mr. Toobin switched to a second call that was the video call equivalent of phone sex. I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera, Mr. Toobin said last month. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and co-workers. Vice first reported the incident last month. Mr. Toobin, a former assistant U.S. attorney, thought they know something about ethics, and joined the New Yorker in 1993 under the editor Tina Brown and quickly made a splash in publishing circles with his coverage of you-know-who, the juice, the O.J. Simpson murder trial, I'm not going to read anymore. That's why we're reading Run of His Life now. We would have probably never read this book, The Cal's Book Club, but with glee and excitement. Woo! Now, as I said, if Mr. Toobin just listened to Neutralizing Workplace Racism, this wouldn't have happened. And I even paused. We had another Genius Cows listener who said last week, I bet this is not the first time Mr. Toobin has engaged in this sort of activity. Maybe this is just the first time he got caught. Anyway, now, I had to reread a few times, because every time I read about Mr. Toobin, I get new information. So this time when I read, and they said, okay, so he's on the Zoom call, New York Public Radio, folks at the New Yorker talking about a new podcast. All right, we're going to talk about albino squirrels, blah, 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 get a jab in about O.J. Simpson. Great. Okay, breakout session. Now, I don't know what that means. Does that mean that we're on a break? Does that mean, because they didn't explain. I've heard that term used before, and it can have different connotations, but clearly it did not end the call. But even, you know, regardless if we're done, regardless if it's, all right, talking about the podcast, so we got the albino raccoon, the albino squirrel, and then jab at OJ. Okay, all right, we'll meet next Wednesday, everybody. Great seeing you. Stay safe. No more Rona. Peace. All right, so in what world, like, as soon as that ends, I whip out my cell phone and, Jenny, are you there? Ooh, let me get my pants. Like, whoa, we are seconds from wrapping up the work call. Gusty, I just said, okay, you're doing anything work-related? I don't know if this was on his personal computer. Shouldn't have been. But if it was, like, whoa, way too comfortable. I've talked about that. Way too comfortable in the environment. Like, if this is work, this is work. We need to get a whole nother environment, a whole, like, shut down everything, and then we can call Janet and, you know, do whatever you need to do. But I mean, are you serious? Like, that would even lead me to think, maybe that's just the excuse that we're going to give, that I thought this wasn't operating anymore. Anyway, I'm not even getting into all that. I say again, if this had been O.J. Simpson, Bill Cosby, Gus T. Renegade, any President Obama, any other black male you can think of, it wouldn't have taken a month for him to be fired. It may have been criminal charges. I think he might still be affiliated with CNN. I think he just got a leave of absence. They didn't say he was terminated and would never be affiliated with them again. So, toxic masculinity, is it? Toxic white masculinity? Did they even say that phrase? Jeff Toobin, run of his life. I'm so excited. You can't get that comfortable with the Zoom and any of that stuff. Like, in my opinion, if you're working from home, if we're working, there shouldn't be any other, like, wildly recreational activities. Like, I wouldn't care what it is. Like, if we're doing work, particularly your Zoom conferencing, people can see you. They can see into your immediate environment and surroundings. Like, woo, this is a super sanitized area. And I might even have to do a total reboot of my machine, like, to make sure that there is no chance of a, whoops, we're still on, I'm still being recorded, none of that. Poor Jeff Toobin. Email again is untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. Oh, and I got, there were people who came out, even white women, in the era of Me Too and had the audacity to take up for old Jeff Toobin and said, man, this is a disgrace. This is an outrage. Fired for the equivalent of having his pants unzipped accidentally. Going outside and having your robe fly open when you get the mail. It's a disgrace in a year of disgraces and the Rona. 27 years thrown away. This is what they were saying. White women, in addition to other folks. I'm just saying, you know. Like, can you... So if this was Bill Cosby, Will Smith, Barack Obama, Al Sharpton, are you serious? Come on. Woo! Jeff Toobin, run of his life. I can't wait. Anyway, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. Long live Al Sharpton. Email number one. Let's see. I lost my cursor here. All righty. Female victim of racism. She writes in. Greetings. As you read, please keep in mind that I live in the Deep South. I don't know what that means exactly. Do we, like Texas, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, somewhere in there, I guess. But I mean, I don't really know what that means. Anyway, the Andy Griffith Show still plays during primetime weekdays. Andy Griffith. I suspect Andy Griffith plays in many areas. Like Ron Howard is the man. Anyway, I almost left my dignity at the door. When I reported to the work at a school in 2014, the assistant principal said to me, as he was walking me to the classroom, "We do not write up students for the N-word because it is the music that they listen to." Once I finished that substitute assignment, I never returned to that district. Because I needed a job, I applied with that district 6 years later. I received an interview. I was not hired. I am relieved with an exclamation point. Now, I am working retail for the holidays. The store allows for merchandise returns. Some customers do not wear masks. Some employees are quick to remove their masks when they are not in public. I've decided to remove myself from my family during this holiday season to protect them. May you continue to stay strong and stay safe. Much obliged, you as well. That's sad about, you know, having to distance from the family. I mean, that's, you know, sacrifice. Taking the Rona seriously, which I wholeheartedly, unabashedly support. Just, I mean, wow, the toll that this has taken on so many folks and having to make those type of sacrifices and just abysmal. And we've heard that. We've had so many black people for the past, what is it now, 8 months, almost a year, basically, who have written in, called in, who have said, you know, white people, predominantly white people on their jobs, not taking this seriously, not wearing their masks, not social distancing, all of that. We've heard that repeatedly in the midst of, I don't ever remember anybody saying that the, what they call first wave ended in the U.S. I remember it being huge numbers throughout the summer, every day, with the wildfires, and then we hit autumn and it was, oh no, it's surging again. Like, I don't even remember. But we've heard this repeatedly. And that's why I said we've had a number of folks increasingly of late who have written in, called in, asking about codification and what to do. Unfortunately, this seems legitimate. I remember we even had the female mom who called in. She worked at a daycare, and it was the same thing. White parents didn't think the Rona was a big deal, told their children the same thing. Children wouldn't social distance, wouldn't wear masks, got offended, took their children out of school. Man, priorities, in my view, I would not want to take a lot of risks with folks who are being unsafe, and I would make sure that they don't influence my behavior in terms of, they don't think the Rona is serious, so now I'm not going to wear a mask and take mine off. And I would not allow that to happen at all. Stay super disciplined and just make it known that you are taking it serious. So, you know, if you're going to take your mask off and all that, please super distance from me. Thank you kindly. The first component of it, though, I think sometimes we can be thankful sometimes for jobs that we do not get, especially when you go into a situation where it was from the beginning, ooh, I've experienced this before and do not want to be in this environment again. Like when your brain computer comes to a conclusion on something like that, I think we should follow that conclusion. Like, that's one exclamation point. I am relieved as well that you did not have to return to that teaching environment. Like, wow, what type of justification is that? Well, they say a lot of, you know, wild things in the songs and in the movies. So how much is acceptable just because they say it in the songs and in the movies and such? I mean, where are we drawing the line at? Come on. Let's see. I'll get in one more email just because we got quite a few of them. Let's see. UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Let's see. All right, so this is an update. We'll make sure we get this one in right now. We had a lovely black mother who dialed in, or wrote in, I'm sorry. She wrote in a week ago, and she was telling us about a Halloween candy type situation, a situation where her child, it's really a, what is this, school situation. So her child is at school, her 5-year-old black son is at school, and they give her 5-year-old child, they send him home with a bag, and I guess it's supposed to be like a Halloween bag, and it's got all of this Laffy Taffy in it. Lots of it, apparently. She said way more than, you know, what you would give a 5-year-old. That was one. And then she thought the Laffy Taffy was a part of it, too. Then also, just the conduct in the classroom in general from this white male teacher, 5-year-olds. They had a reading assignment, and he picked out this white student. Said, oh, yes, you know, little TJ has done the most reading of anyone ever, and is clearly, you know, the smartest little champ ever, and doesn't give that type of encouragement to her son. We talked about this last week, but the candy was where she started that. She really pointed that out as majorly incorrect in chemical biological warfare, dumping all this nonsense candy on her child. So she gave an update. We'll start with that one. Let's see. Okay. Just to update you all on the Halloween candy situation with my 5-year-old son's teacher, white male. I did find out that the teacher was indeed the one who put the Halloween grape-flavored Laffy Taffy candy in my son's homework bag. So this wasn't even a Halloween bag. I keep wanting to say Halloween bag because that's literally how much candy was there. Initially, I felt it was racist, not only because the candy itself being toxic and harmful for children, say it twice, but it was the grape flavor for me. She has grape in all caps. Grape-flavored snacks such as soda, candy, etc. are largely associated with us because grape is the cheapest and the highest in sugar. Also, an interesting fact about monkeys is some monkeys eat bananas, but almost all monkeys eat grapes, and monkeys like grapes more than they like bananas. I think white people know this. I didn't know that, but that might be true. Why people knew this about? Anyway, in my first email to the teacher, I asked the following. Is this supposed to be some sort of subtle racist joke? Did you give the other children this much grape candy? And what did the other children get? 3 excellent questions. He emailed me back and explained that he just simply grabbed 2 bags of candy and all the children got the same amount. However, he did not just grab 2 bags of candy because my son, 5 years old, had about 5 different types of candy in his bag. And it was just the grape candy that he had the most of. His explanation somewhat made logical sense, but he's lying and told half the truth. And I would pause right there. Gavin DeBecker, The Gift of Fear. We read his book last year. He said, Trust your instinct. That was a big point of his from the book. Trust your instinct, especially in situations like this, where you get a feeling that something is wrong. She had that feeling from the very beginning with the bag, that something is wrong about this. I think something is racist about this. Why is it all this grape can't? Like, that's, she felt that way about all of this from the beginning. You email very specific questions, and then you still feel some type of way even about his responses. Like, super trust your instinct on that one. Like, that just further, in my view, just further confirms. And I think a lot of times, victims, black people, I think we are conditioned to, oh, no, that's not what it is, and you're just being paranoid. And then look, we'll have a lot of other victims even with, oh, you're just being paranoid, and that white man loves your child, and you're just causing trouble. Forget all of that. I wouldn't care if anybody says it. My mom, my dad, anybody could say, forget all of that. You felt some type of way about that bag from the beginning. Then you felt some type of way about the response to the bag. That is corroboration. Continuing. And then, of course, he went on to say that he fights for social justice in his personal life, and that he tries to incorporate and represent all court cultures equally in our classroom. Vomit. I responded by telling him I did not feel that way. I then asked him to please call on other students more, and I felt that he was calling on the same students repeatedly. I gave him a suggestion to call the students in alphabetical order to encourage the students to raise their hands more, so little racist TJ and the other Latinx students aren't constantly talking out of turn. And yes, TJ, the child that said, I'm the smartest in class, is named Thomas. I said that last week, little Thomas Jefferson in training. I said that. I'm thankful that my son is schooling at home. I'm thankful that my son is schooling at home because of the pandemic. However, my son, however, my son wants to be friends with this racist boy, TJ. It's really not a surprise. The teachers set it up this way so that the white children are the special ones in the class. She has special in quotation marks. I cringe every time my child says hi to that boy. He talks to him less now, but I really want to make myself more clear. How do I tell my son, five years old, no white friends? She has that in all capital letters. How do you all talk to your children about no white friends? Yikes. I do not have children, so I will not pretend to know the answer to that one. Let's see. Did I get the... Yes, okay. We got the update. Oh, wait a minute. I did not get the update. Oh, I didn't get all. Did I get everything or no? Let's see. I guess we did get it all, but wait a minute. Well, I'll include this. We'll make sure we update. As of today, we were notified that my son's teacher, my son's teacher will be leaving for a week and will be back December 13th. So that's like a month? Okay. I don't think this is a coincidence. Me either. Trust your instinct on that one, too. My son now has a female Latinx teacher whose son is in our class and almost never gets called on. I like the sub teacher mom, as she teaches the children Spanish, is more engaging and more attentive to my son and the other children. I asked the white male teacher to add the principal to the emails I sent him, and he didn't do it. I plan on emailing the principal again myself and having my son moved to the substitute teacher's class. Lastly, my husband thinks my son's male teacher is a stoner, which I didn't notice. More updates later. Thank you for all the advice. Be well. Much obliged. I don't have children. That said, homeschooling, I think I talked about that last week. I really would encourage, if folks have the ability, I, as someone who doesn't have children, I am not sitting here trying to dictate time and energy. I know it is super challenging and just getting the resources and all of that, but this is in this type of environment frequently. I think I said last week, it's difficult for me to see an improvement. He's going to be back in December and up to his typical hijinks, racist hijinks. Whew, that's a long time to have to hang out with a racist guy and little TJ in the classroom. I said that last week, the other little racist white boys in the environment and racist white girls. Homeschooling, and even to the question about not having white friends, it's nearly impossible if they're in that environment. Hey, we have parents, so folks can certainly dial in and share. But in my view, and from what I've heard over and over, and I mean from all kinds of folks, Dick Gregory even, like people who are notorious, known all over the world for talking about racism and how black people are mistreated, and their children see this and all that and try to teach that to their children, and even they say, man, my children got these white friends, and they love little teaching. So it is very, very hard. I put capital S up there for capital W, cap U S, white supremacy for a reason. I would say if you can get them out of that environment, that can help, although that doesn't even totally eliminate the attractiveness. Mr. Fuller has that in the code book, whites as the most attractive people in the known universe, and not just meaning the people look at them and, oh, Vaughn, you're the fairest. No. Attractive as in magnetic pull, people wanting to be around them. That is, as you said, that is design. Little TJ is special. He's so smart. He's read a billion books, working on writing a book, in fact. Wow. Little TJ, just like one of our presidents to be. So if you can get them out of that environment, that can help a lot. But I mean, woof, you can talk until you're blue in the face. We've heard that repeatedly from black parents. You can talk all day long. You can play Neely Fuller Jr. and watch all kinds of, you know, cool counter-racist segments at home and talk to them about Tamir Rice and all of that. They go to school, particularly they get to go to school and watch a little television. Probably going to be a wrap. So getting them out of that environment, I would say, is the biggest suggestion. And just being truthful with them. They're probably going to have white friends. Sometimes this is one that I've seen where sometimes folks got to learn the hard way. Man, what is it? White people can show you better than I can tell you. And this is one that I have seen. Parents can talk and talk and talk. And Thomas in New York said, I can talk and talk and talk. Man, dad is crazy. Woo! He sits on there listening to that crazy radio program and talking about white people all the time. Woo! He is crazy. Until little TJ does something, and, you know, so maybe we'll see if the parents have any thoughts on that one. I would just say if you can homeschool, she said homeschooling him being at home during the pandemic has been great, so I would see if maybe there's a way you can continue that, and then if he gets older, you all can have more conversations, and even he can talk about some of his experiences and what he sees as he has more time to observe and learn. But it is very, I don't call it white privilege. I don't call it discrimination. I don't call it social justice. I call it with a capital W, a capital S, white supremacy for a reason. Little TJ can show you better than I can tell you. The number is 720-716-7300, decode 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. So if you have your workplace situation, certainly problems, suggestions, dial in. If we have any parents, that would be super, you know, appreciated. If you have any thoughts on that situation, we'll have, we had our first person who wrote in with commentary as well. So, yeah, if you have comments, parents, especially if you are a parent, you cannot spectate this here evening. If you have any thoughts to share, she asked pretty directly. So if we have any parents, dial in, let us know. We will get your thoughts on the program. And then I guess if you have any thoughts about the Rona situation, because that's been come up repeatedly. Our first person who wrote in asked about that, too. People not wearing masks in the workplace, not taking it seriously. Any thoughts or suggestions there also? First few folks who dialed in with a hand up, star 6-1. Line should be open. Proceed.
Hi, Gus.
Greetings, B in Toronto. Good to hear from you. One of our parents.
Yes, greetings to you guys, the callers and listeners. I have insight on both. In fact, I just came from the hospital due to experiencing chest pain, but it seems that everything is clear, so it could be more stress-related. So looking into more self-care and whatnot, but heard some interesting information about the Rona. And also some insight of what's happening in Ontario, Canada, as we've our province is going to go into control, or known as Category Red, effective tomorrow, starting midnight, November 14th. But I'll get into that shortly. In terms of commentary on the parent, in which the teacher had given the child a lot of grape candy. Excellent questions. It's great that the child is being homeschooled, or, well, not necessarily homeschooled, but at home, so through remote learning. But certainly the parent or parents can start looking at an exit strategy for their child to transition them into homeschooling. There are homeschool networks that are available where parents are not alone, that they can definitely ask further information about. So that's something, even if it meant going on a Facebook group for Black parents in the U.S. or a Black parent organization within their state or city, to inquire further if there are other parents that are also doing homeschooling. And because sometimes other parents will homeschool other children as well, provided that the curriculum is being met. So that's also another thing that can be considered. With the father, VGQ on the teacher may be a stoner. That could be a possibility. I've worked in many a teacher's households due to one situation or another, usually helping out a family member or their child. And if you've seen what happens in their personal life, most people would not revere them as much as they are being revered, especially with white women. There was one particular situation where I was helping with a sibling of the teacher, and the teacher themselves had a clear alcoholism situation where they would just buy beer more so than getting supplies for their own sibling. And I mean basic personal supplies like adult diapers. They would purchase beer instead of adult diapers for their sibling. So that could be consideration, but something not to really look into because, again, your child is priority, and just look at alternatives of how to get that child out of the situation. In terms of the Rona, I was overhearing some of the nurses, and the nurses were saying that the cases were quite high due to a lot of senior citizens in retirement homes catching the Rona. Last count in Ontario was 448 people contracted in, I'm not quite sure if it's in one day, However, it's quite a high number. So as a result, the Premier, Doug Ford, had decided to place Ontario into control category, or known as category red, which is just one step away from lockdown. So at this point, residents can only go out of their home for essentials, such as going to the groceries, to the doctors, and back home. They cannot visit, or it is restricted to not visit family and friends. The restaurants and fitness centers are closed down. Only essential workers can go out mainly to their respective jobs and back home. Similar in my situation for my occupation, I'm dealing with other clients, and there's a couple of clients that are refusing to wear their masks. So one of the things I was planning on doing is seeing if I can get one of the medical practitioners, mainly from a public health department, to come in and hold a talk with the client about the seriousness of the situation. Because when I say it, they're not listening. When my supervisor says it, they're not listening. When it's a part of the organization's policy, they're not listening. So perhaps the getting a medical practitioner that they can speak to, they'll probably, or maybe not. By this point, I also think that management will need to implement stronger protocols so that people have to follow and that it be mandatory. But I'm not quite sure what it's going to take for that to happen. And it would be unfortunate if it means resulting in a few deaths or, you know, resulting in a lot of people contracting the virus itself. But I completely blame squarely the way that this has been handled and the reason that the increase of the virus due to mainly white people not following the protocols, choosing their entitlement over following the protocols. And I also blame it squarely also on the government for not enforcing, you know, the fines that they claimed that they were going to enforce on people who are not following the protocols around gatherings. There has been many times where there's been lots of parties with white people not wearing their masks, and there's been no fines. There's been nothing done about it. It's just been very lenient. So this could have been nipped in the bud, I feel, a long time ago, but because white people are choosing to do what they want and other white people choosing not to enforce those protocols, this is the reason why it's getting as bad as it is. So stay safe and stay as healthy as possible. Thank you. I leave the line.
Wow. I guess number one, I hope you are doing better. And as you said, like self-care, like number one, I'm glad you were able to go and, you know, get checked out, and you said things cleared out and you're able to call in. But wow, is that what you're thinking it is? Like logically that this was just something related to stress?
Yes, because one of the main things I was ruling out was the COVID symptoms itself, because I know shortness of breath is related, and I was experiencing tightness of breath tightness of the chest area. However, I also noticed that it wasn't an ongoing situation. There are moments that I'd be able to breathe deeply, and there's other moments that my chest was really tight. But I also noticed, too, that I was going through a lot of stress. And when I'm going through stress, I've been noticing that that's when my chest gets really tight and it makes it really hard to deep breathe. Almost like a panic attack, but not quite. So this is the reason why I just decided, let me just go check it out. It's just something that I'm not even going to try and self-medicate on. I'm just going to, you know, see what can be done about it. So they did the blood test, they did the ECG, they did the x-ray, So I ended up spending a lot of hours at the hospital, but was definitely worth it because they all three areas cleared. And I'll just continue to monitor, follow up with my family doctor and see what happens from there. But in the meantime, slowing it down, doing deep breathing. Just trying to take it easy during that time. Thank you.
Self-care, man, that's so important to remember that, especially this year. This entire year has just been hourly stress, sometimes by the minute, of all sorts. So remembering that and just making time to slow things down, time for some breathing, time for some stillness, making sure we get quality rest too. That's so important because myself included, so many of us, once we start getting stressed, sleep is one of the first things that really takes a hit, and just not being able to calm our mind to sleep and doing other things, and just, yeah, quality rest does so much for health and well-being and being able to think at a high level and working against stress, like being able to get rest and making time when you feel yourself getting stressed. Like, man, that is and I'm sure a component of that, working with folks and or clients who are just defiant, not going to wear a mask, no way, not going to do it, I don't care what you say or supervisor or whomever else. Like, I think that's a great strategy to see if maybe you can get a health official to speak to them who's credentialed. And, you know, you don't have to listen to me. Fine, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But, you know, let's get it together. That's the type of situation, too, I would also be saying, like, hey, if we're in Canada, we're level red. We're, like, on the doorstep of a lockdown. Like, if we've got someone who's refusing to wear a mask, is that grounds for denying service? Like, hey, because they have that at some businesses here. Like, you're not going to wear a mask, like, no service for you. Like, that's just it till you, you know, get it together to comply. Like, oh, well, tough noogies. And, you know, whatever you miss out on, that's just on you. Like, they do have that in some instances. So that's the way that I'd be questioned, maybe to pose to folks that are more powerful. Like, man, if it's that serious and cases are spiking, you're at the hospital and what have you, and that's what they're saying. Like, hey, maybe that's what we should be thinking. Like, take this serious. Like, you're not going to get service. No one is going to be able to assist you until you can comply to make sure that we're all being safe and healthy. Help us help you, as they say. Let's see. I want to sprinkle in one more email, and then we will nab some of the other callers. Lots of emails. I'll see if we can get through all of these. Wrong tab. Okay. Let's see. This person, non-white female, writes in. Up, right on time. Bing. This week we had a meeting about the COVID vaccine, which was filled with excuses as to why it's being rushed. I find it highly suspicious as New York State is trying to make it mandatory and also add most vaccines take at least a decade to create. I also noticed every month the gender category expands. There is male, female, transgendered female, transgendered male, binary, and other. And in the email signatures, they have, after your name, what you want to be addressed as: him, her, they, etc. And I mean, I've seen where that can get real out of control, where it's him, her, they, Zorg, Zig, Zaur. Like, what? And then people will get upset if you... Woo! Confusion. She continued, it's all very confusing. And I feel they, meaning white people, are going to weaponize all of this degenderization, as Mr. Fuller calls it. Yeah, buddy, those vaccines and all that, I said that will be a new component when they get. Is that going to be mandatory? And lots to process moving forward. The number again is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, commentary to share, line should be open. Parents, again, no spectating for parents. Line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. I would like to respond to the first emailer who was speaking about her child in school and not wanting her child to be influenced by white friends. One of the things that I'm careful, I'm a parent, attempted parent, as you might say. One of the things that I was concerned about for my own child was them feeling isolated. So I did not give them that restriction of not having white friends. But one of the things that I do is I speak to them very frequently. I have two children, two boys, and they're very young. They're under 10 years old. So I speak to them frequently about their interactions with the people in school, and I am always attempting to get them to understand how they should be treated and to not allow negative influences, and to also keep an open dialogue. I know that they are very young, so they're not as secretive as older children, but as for now, I am continuing to speak to them about how they should interact with other people and to have self-respect, and to also understand that they are black children, that they may be different from other children who are white children. So I continue to give them guidance whenever I can in terms of how their interaction should go. If they are mistreated, to allow them to speak to me openly about it without being very harsh with them or being very judgmental, because I believe that that could shut them down. Now, in other circumstances where a parent would have access for their children to be friends with other black children, one of the things that I've noticed, if there are a few white children at in an environment where there are mostly black children, those white children will tend to get a lot of special treatment from the staff and other children. So I attempt to, in that case, that is VGQ. I think you have the better opportunity to make sure that your child is getting socialization with other children without having to interact with white children. So that would be a circumstance where I would feel more comfortable in having my children not be friends, or encouraging them to seek out other friends other than white children. That's it on that that subject. But on the other subject that I would like to speak about is the email where the teacher or the person attempting to get a job or employment at a school got turned off severely by there being no punishment for children using the N-word. One of the situations that I go through with my job, I drive rideshare in New York City, and when I have, it's actually happened two nights ago, where a person who was a non-white person, East Asian Indian descent, used the N-word. He said specifically I'm going to have to choke a nigga. And he was speaking to one of his co-workers, and he attempted to use it, I guess, in a the N-word in a colloquial way. And I stopped, and this is my codification, and hopefully I'm able to employ this, and anyone else could employ this technique, and hopefully it will be successful, continue to be successful, is I stop and tell them that they can no longer, I will no longer drive them if they continue to use the N-word, and if they continue to do so, I will stop and let them out or ask them to leave. That hasn't happened the way I've had to do that, but that is part of the codification that I'm continuing to work on. And that will be all. Thank you for listening.
Much obliged, caller in New York. I think having a major code of safety, because, I mean, wow, somebody's saying that. They're going to choke a black person and call it, I'm going to choke a nick, like, whoa, this is Gavin DeBecker. Did he give me, like, some funds for promoting the book? Like, that is exactly the sort of thing that he talks about. He has a whole section in the book on workplace racism. Like, whoa. Pause. Like, I feel like that type of commentary, you need to get out of the vehicle right now. If he's talking about choking a nigra, maybe he means you. Like, nah. That is outstanding. I think immediately just having standards about what's acceptable in the vehicle. But I mean, what did I heard that right? My ears weren't, he said he was about to choke a nigger.
He was speaking to his colleague, and I think that they were speaking just about something work-related, and he was expressing some frustration with someone else. And he said, in a way that was supposed to have been comical, that he was going to have to choke a nigger. And he used the nigger as an pronouncing it with an A at the end instead of the hard ER. And I thought that he expected that not to have been offensive, but he did apologize. So I know that he knew how offensive that was. And I gave him the opportunity to stop using that before I asked him to leave, because I know that that can be a volatile situation. So I attempt to give a person an opportunity to correct their behavior before I stop and ask them to leave the vehicle, because I know that that can be very problematic to get someone out of the vehicle if they don't want to leave.
Much obliged for the follow-up. Make sure I certainly am not critiquing your response or anything like that and doing what they call it Monday morning quarterback. I think you did a brilliant counter-racist job, like A++, in my opinion. I'm just kind of a scary person anyway, and to have, like, white people talking about choking black people, like, oof, like, they might be talking about me in the next 5 minutes. I was laughing. That's what you just shared. It's not funny. But I was laughing. We are talking about workplace racism. They, in your vehicle, are talking about the workplace and choking a black person. Like, that's why we have neutralizing workplace racism. We don't have a white person like, man, we're going to get Tom some extra, well, we won't say Tom. We'll get, you know, Rodney some extra training, and wow, he's enterprising, and man, can you stick with us a year? I think he'll do that. I'm about to choke a nigga. System of racism, white, and we talked about that specifically, what he said. Now, he didn't say nigra. He didn't say nigger. He said, I'm about to choke a nigga. We've talked about that specifically, where white people in a work environment, they will get around other black people. And, oh, yeah, I get to break out all of my slang. I've been listening to NWA and Ice Cube CDs. That, oh, yeah, man. And they get around and, oh, yeah, now it's nigga this and pimping that. And come on. And exactly what you said, like, I'm going to say this, and he knows you can hear it. It's not like we're in a stretch limousine and you got the, you know, window up and all that. Like, yes, this nigger is driving, and he can hear me saying that I'm about to choke this nigger. That's why we have neutralizing workplace racism. Probably the white people that we work around talking about choking us too. Maybe he grew up listening to rap music because he was talking about our email. That's the excuse, maybe. They grew up listening to old Ice Cube. You know, they get that. You get a good 10 years of that, and it's just hard to break habits, right? That's what it is. It's just a habit. He loves black people, has black friends, promotes black people and all that. They just, you know, Ice Cube is addictive, you know? Context of white supremacy. Much obliged for your suggestions on parenting as well. Outstanding for open dialogue. Like, that is so huge. Like, whew, open dialogue. Like, that makes pretty much all the situations a lot more manageable, where you have communication, where your child feels safe, and they can come and, you know, tell you about things that have happened, that sort of thing, where you can ask them about the interactions that they're having if they have white playmates. I know some white parents, like you were talking about, not wanting your children to be isolated, and we've heard that from other parents, and saying, well, you don't have white friends, you have white playmates, and talking about why we use that language. Like, I've heard, seen that as well. So thanks for the suggestions for attempted parents as well. Other folks who dialed in, *61, if you have commentary, thoughts to share, line should be open.
Can I be heard?
Greetings, Mo in Dallas. Yes, sir. Heard you too, retired firefighter. We'll get you next.
Thank you. Greetings, callers and listeners, and that's the host. Thank you for the program. Responding to your inquiry about the segments, I for one, appreciate them, because it kind of informs the listeners, or me as a listener, that there are, you know, workplace subtleties that, you know, people that are more confused about racism may miss. So I think they're very constructive. To the parent, the white playmates is a very good suggestion. My daughter, one of her closest friends, was a little white girl, and it's very hard once children establish that bond to kind of break, you know, like try to kind of break them or you know, break it up, because you know, you seem like a villain in some capacity. I'm lucky she moved. But before then, I had to kind of like reestablish myself as a parent, because I found myself being undermined by her playmate and her playmate's mother, you know. Like, they would do things like give her makeup and lipstick and things like that, and I had to confront that parent. You know, please don't. And this is before the Rona, but I didn't want my child in makeup. You know, she was, I think, 6 at the time, and I didn't see the need for that. It was very difficult for me to explain to my daughter, you know, that that's inappropriate. That's why I don't buy it. And she, you know, it wasn't fair. They do have a lot of trinkets in their environment over there, and that seems to be appealing to black children. As far as Jeffrey Toobin, I believe he may have had an appointment. I'm thinking he runs a very tight schedule, and maybe that was the reason why he didn't have the opportunity to reboot his laptop. He might have had her penciled in right there. So, and the word nigga in the workplace, I've spoken about a previous coworker that keeps using that word in our environment. This is, I'm almost certain we have recording devices. It's a pretty much secure facility. And he doesn't understand it. And I actually broke code with him. I broke my own counter-racist code. And I'm disappointed in myself because I knew I was breaking code. And it was so, but it was, I'll explain. I pretty much come into work, head down, you know, I speak, carry on with my day. And about 2 days ago, I think they had like a meeting on me. It was like, you know, a private meeting. They were all non-white black people. And they were just like, you know, sir, why don't you, you know, engage with us, whatever. And I was having a good day. I gave it a shot. Hi, how's it going? What's up? Because I don't want to seem rude, you know, because it can come off rude if you don't. But I was having a nice day. So off the bat, they were like, well, you remind me of this rapper, you know? And I was like, well, okay, thank you, I think. Why would you say that? And they were like, you know, just your attitude, just kind of closed off. I'm not going to mention a rapper. But they were like, you're kind of closed in, but, you know, you're kind of stoic in a way and things like that. And I was like, well, okay, I appreciate that. If those are the qualities you notice, thank you. And they were like, well, do me. And I was like, I really don't want to play this game. I think I'm just going to go to work. It was like, no, just do it. And it was the male, the one that used the N-word in the workplace. And he was like, do me. I think I'm like this popular singer. I think I'm like this popular. You know, he just kept. And I was like, okay, well, if I were to give you, like, a celebrity persona, I would recommend that, or I would believe that you more likely represent a famous radio shock jockey on the, I call it the meal organization. And he was just like, what? And he immediately went left. Like, he immediately got offended, you know, and started defending himself and was saying how, you know, I'm trying to put him in a box or something like that. And I was like, okay, I'm out. And I walked away. And, like, so he yells from his work area, hey, man, there's no beef over here. Just wanted to let you know. Oh, and I had to go back over there, and I had to explain to him, sir, I'm in no way trying to befriend you guys. Only reason I started talking to you guys is because you invited me, and I didn't want to seem rude. This is why I don't. If anything, like, if you need help with the job, let me know. I'm sorry I had to engage with you then. I'll do my best to not bother you if I can. And then he started going on and on about how I reminded him of his dad. And it was just so, so unnecessary. I was disappointed in myself because the entire time I was like, I shouldn't have broke code. I should not have broke code. I should have not even attempted to play with this kind of energy. And it was totally draining. I literally had to go outside and breathe because it was such a difficult situation to deal with. And like, cause he was like yelling and there were white people near. And I was just like, man, now it seems like I'm in a conflict because he was saying, no, don't walk off. We're debating. I was like, sir, this is not a confrontation. This is not an issue. Like, I wish it wasn't an issue. I apologize. I really like to just go back to work. So it was just a mess. It was a full-blown mess. And he has a history of just arguing with other coworkers. He's been reported for doing so. I think he's threatened someone and then threatened himself after the threat. Like, he's just a live wire, so I'll probably not engage with him anymore. To be in Toronto, kudos on getting yourself evaluated. I think I heard her say that she got herself checked out, and she came back with a clean bill of health. clean bills of health do reduce stress level. Like just knowing that you're healthy will soothe anxieties or anxious natures because you know that you're physically okay. And so, you know, you don't have as much pressure or wondering if something's wrong with you. That's all I have for now in my life.
Much obliged. Mo in Dallas. Yes, indeed. Kudos for self-care. Going to retired firefighter next, just quickly to get in. Like I said, we all know in terms of if we, hindsight is 2020, as they say, so situation happens and we're able to reflect, say, oh man, I would have done this or I would have done that. Say it all the time, still true. White people will give us another opportunity. So anytime we're, and I've had plenty of them myself and will have more, we're like, man, I would have said this or I wouldn't have said anything. That's a common one too, where, man, I wouldn't have opened my mouth at all. You will get another chance. So, and then you'll remember too, because this incident will be fresh for a while, so you'll recall. And I'd say particularly when it's a white person that you know, like you said, he has a history. He's been written up and has threatened people and saying nigger in the workplace. You already know, like, live wire here. Like,
okay, yeah. he's a non-white black male.
Thank you. Make sure I don't get confused. Even still, same thing. Already know, like, yep, not going to get involved, not going to join into any, you know, shenanigans. And what, that's even worse. Have another black person that's saying nigger in the workplace and threatening folks and all that. Like, yep, keep a wide berth, as they say. And, immediately, like, as soon as greetings, greetings. Y'all take care. Have a blessed day. Happy Veterans Day. Have a blessed day. That's my have a blessed day and keep walking. Like, oh, yeah, have a blessed day. Got lots of work to do. Have a blessed day. But, yeah, and then as soon as you get involved, it's, so what type of rapper? You know, you remind me of Biz Markie. Like, oh, Lord. Like, ooh, I should have kept my mouth closed. Like, ooh. It's sad to feel like you got to be aloof in that manner, even with other non-white people, but the system of white supremacy has done a lot of damage. I've said all the time, you don't go into a workplace environment thinking that, oh, it's other black people, it'll be great, we can sit down and kick it, talk about the election. A lot of times you have to have the same type of code that we're not going to be kicking and talk about anything. And whew, imagine from that, just walking by, pleasant little day, and then that quickly we got all this, and hey, it's no beep. Oh my goodness. Oh, woof. Minimize conflict, minimize contact. Much obliged. Retired firefighter in Florida.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings to everyone. I first would like to qualify my remarks by stating that I am not an expert when it comes to parenting at all. The only thing that I can say that I was committed to being the best that I can be. And I'll go from there by just sharing my experiences, and maybe that parent can take some tips on based on what they heard. With my offspring, myself and his mother, we weren't under the same roof only for a very, very short period of time. But when she moved, she didn't move that far away. I would say less than 5 to 10 miles away. the schools that she had him in, the elementary school, the area is called Miramar, the city. And it was rapidly becoming a situation where non-white black people were moving in and white people were leaving out of that city at a record pace. So white people, white children, period, wasn't that much of an issue as far as when he was in early school, that sort of thing. So it wasn't that much of a problem. Basically, I was actually still working, but as a firefighter, you're off a whole lot. You know, we get our 48 hours. We get our 48 hours in two 24-hour shifts. So out of 5 days out of the week, I probably at best will work two. So the other days I was, you know, I'd be coaching football. And from there, I would take him with me everywhere I go. Literally, take him with me everywhere I go. He was almost like a mascot on the teams, the high school teams that I was coaching at. Most of the, players were black. As I was coaching, the females who were helping with the program, you know, as you know, with the water and whatnot, and all of them were black females, you know, as far as that concerned. And so he was always around out with me, black people doing something constructive in an organized environment. When it got to middle school is when I had direct everyday living with him living with me. And basically was just more of the same as far as exposing him. He was getting more and more exposed to environments with primarily it was organized, and for the most part, everybody from adults, from quote unquote adults to children, were black, you know. And so the question on his behalf never even came up, because that's what I was used to doing even before he was thought of being a reality. So I never had to be confronted with any questions on the matter. I did not necessarily talk directly about racism, white supremacy with him, but I did expose him to ideas and visual things that described justice. I would say it would be to my mind to wait for that person to bring up the question, but in the meantime, what the parent can do on a daily basis is illustrate justice. I'm going to go to Dr. Welsing, illustrate correctness when it comes to non-white black people as far as an approval of oneself and how you look. You know, with pictures on the wall, the people that he would see me with, it would be something, you know, constructive that we would be talking about. And not so much paying attention to him, he's paying attention to us, yeah, that sort of thing. And I would say the same thing could take place with females. It's really no difference when it comes to what I'm talking about, I don't think. That's how it worked out for me. You know, that's how it worked out for me. Cause most of these things I was doing before he was born, and it was just more of the same, you know, and I would, you know, ever since he was, you know, can walk, I would take him around with me when I had him. And as I mentioned before, when I gained custody of him, it was more of that on a continuous basis. And probably culture-wise, political-wise down here, as opposed to what I think I'm hearing from some of the other participants, is that there's a huge separation in the public school system down here. If you're going to, if your child is enrolled into a district down here in South Florida, and the areas where the people, where the students stay at is let's say 80-90% black or non-white, it's going to be that way when they go to class. It's going to be that way they go to class. Also, you know, the thing about, what they call it, when kids go to each other's homes, primarily he was going to a teammate's home, you know, that sort of thing. You know, that's a black male, you know, a black child just like him, you know, and, you know, vice versa, you know. So it was natural. It was almost natural from that standpoint, although I did have that in mind, but it was almost natural how I did it. And I've never had that issue at all. I never had an issue at all. One thing about it, he's different from me in a lot of ways. He's a much more nicer person than I am. I've never seen him angry at all. He's seen me angry, you know, every now and then, but I've never seen him angry or anything like that. But, yeah, those are just some of my experiences, and hopefully I was able to assist in some sort of way. Thank you.
Excuse me, got choked up. Much obliged.
Are you all right?
Write poorly, that's why I always say write poorly. Much obliged. Retired firefighter. And that's true, too, like what type of the environment where you are, that's going to have a big impact, too, in terms of how many, because like having this kind of, if I was a parent here in Seattle, like, wow, we would have to stay in the house basically all day long, grown up or no, to not have contact with white children, like, or white people, period. It just, I don't know how you would do that if you, you know, lived in Washington State. Very different if you live in Washington, D.C., Florida, Atlanta. Totally different conversation, you know. So that obviously has a huge impact on how you navigate that, you know, situation. I do know some attempted parents are part of DARE code just based on trying to minimize damage. They do try to minimize and or outright prohibit being in another white person's residence. I have heard that where you can have your white playmate and, you know, we can go play ball together or whatever it is, hang out, do whatever at the park or in a public place or at school, wherever. But we're not going to a white person's residence where racist man, racist woman, racist siblings, racist grandpa, like way too many variables, even the trinkets. And I think a lot of folks have, I've heard this from a number of parents over the years in terms of, I think Mo in Dallas said, having your influence as a parent undermined. Oh man, just going to the White House, because they probably, like, think now, right, if it wasn't the Rona. So you go to the house now, they probably got like a 20-foot Christmas tree. Not every white household, but that's pretty common part of racist culture. The Christmas and all that, if you're an attempted family and we're no to horror days, and then you go there and they got snow cookies and they're watching Christmas movies and they got the tree up. You go there and you have a 8-year-old brain computer. Might be a wrap for your, you know, attempted counter. We had horror days and, ooh, can we do Christmas? I've seen that. Like, this is not, you know, hyperbole and making up. I have witnessed this. We've had people who testified to this. The system of what? Capital W, capital S. It's no accent. You don't have domination for 4 years. The Golden State Warriors, they won 3 championships in 5 years with all that talent and now struggling. That's not the system of white supremacy. They dominate, and I mean dominate, the whole world for centuries. That's not accidental. That's not happenstance. Very deliberate and planned how all of this happened. So, yeah, keep that in mind and maybe just one to ponder on. You can have the white playmate, but we don't go into the white residences. A lot of white people are gun owners too, right? That alone should be, you know, reason for some of those trinkets or firearms, right? So, yeah, that's a good reason. Maybe not in the house. Getting the emails. All right. Black female, victim of racism. I have a few reports from my pandemic work experience and would like to share them in the hopes that they will be constructive for other listeners. I was furloughed from my position in April. Luckily, I have been fortunate enough to live well below my means and was able to utilize savings and unemployment effectively. I decided, however, to look for new employment, as I have previously shared on this program that the employer was highly abusive and racist. She's moving forward. I just want to emphasize, like, ooh, being frugal, not trying to go out and buy every new, you know, HDTV and shopping trips and all that and racking up Amazon things during the Rona, like being frugal, super important for times like this. Love, we've had a number of Cal's listeners said they had already adopted that component of their counter-racist code. So, continuing, during this time, I interviewed with a local manufacturing firm, and there were several red flags, which separately I may not have paid attention to, but altogether could not be ignored. Number one, I was given a schedule with interviewers' names for the in-person interview, which would be approximately 3 hours. When I arrived, at least 3 of those people were absent or working remotely and were unable to attend. Two, after this rigorous interview, I was told they had already hired for the position, but they would keep me in mind for any other position. Three, I was called a week later for references as they had a position in mind. I then got another call 2 days later asking about a bad reference. I inquired as to who the reference was and what was told, and was told that it was third or fourth hand, and they were not at liberty to say. I then noted that they had received a back channel reference for me. For those of your listeners who are unaware of what a back channel reference is, it is a reference given by a friend, associate of the employer's representative, and are not chosen by the prospective employee. Incidentally, a white female from the company I was furloughed from then contacted me on LinkedIn with the following message. If you haven't found another job yet, let me know what type of job you're looking for, and I'm happy to endorse other skills as well as white recommendations. Needless to say, I ignored that request. Four, finally, I was called with an offer that was $5,000 below my lowest number in my salary range. After all of this, I declined the position with the standard, "Thank you for your consideration." I was then contacted by the recruiter for the firm as to why I declined, and I said that given my experience with their hiring process, I was not valued as a candidate and that I would not be valued as an employee. I did finally get a new job and was called back to the old job, which I promptly resigned from, and have been dealing with a race soldier in North Carolina. The job is all remote. This confirmed racist has asked me to do highly inappropriate things in team meetings. That's the type of thing, like, woo, inappropriate things like what? Like, what are we talking about? Like, financial malfeasance? Like, sexually inappropriate conduct? Like, what are we... Yeah, what type of inappropriate things? And I hope you are keeping a super detailed record. She continues, so highly inappropriate things in team meetings, which I have ignored or declined. And only just yesterday showed me a picture he posted on a company Slack channel with a cat and a toy gun. Gavin DeBecker... The Gift of Fear, like that. Everybody should make sure you read that book if you haven't. Third time. That is exactly the type of thing, and I mean verbatim, like, woo, extra, super, dangerous, file. That's the sort of thing you could send to HR immediately. This person, Thomas, sent me a photograph with a firearm. I do not feel safe. You don't even have to give a whole lot of background information. Like, and particularly if this was on a company machine, this is exactly in this sort of environment. Everybody, red flag on this, even white people. This doesn't have anything to do with racism. This is all about workplace safety. And in fact, I would make sure, send an email to Human Resources, any other powerful white people. Such and such sent this email to me with all of the controversy and shooting, numbers of people getting firearms. It made me feel unsafe in the workplace. I just wanted to call this to your attention. If there's a question you want to attach to it as well, do we have a policy about firearms safety in the workplace? That might, in fact, I would consult the policy and procedure to see, because a lot of workplaces do now have policy and procedure about multimedia images, sending this sort of content, anything related to firearms in the workplace. And like I said, for sure, Gavin DeBecker, the Gift of Fear, who also spends a lot of time talking about O.J. Simpson, also says this is a major red flag. Posting this sort of content, this is the type of person who will come and shoot up your workplace. She has more. She says, in addition, there have been several conversations in team meetings about politics over the past 2 weeks. Of course, my code has been to remain silent and muted during these conversations and wait until the subject has changed. That is A+. That's what you do. I don't have nothing to say about nothing. In one meeting, a non-white black female appeared to want to discuss politics, oh Lord, but my response seemingly stopped her from doing so. A++. I just said that, even if it's, I said if it was my mom. What do you think about Joe Biden? Whoa. We can talk about that later. I might not even get all that. Like, man, just because it's mom, I'm going to give you all that. But the standard would be, I don't discuss politics in the workplace. You call me after we get off. Like, man, no way, much less some stranger. I don't know you. Like, I don't know you going to report back to white people, victim of racism, but that happens a lot. Much less, like, let's say we totally agree and have a counter-racist code. You think Joe Biden is a suspected racist? Me too. Wow. And then have somebody overhear that, or they have Alexa. Like, come on. Thanks for allowing me to share. Hope you and the listeners found this constructive. Absolutely. She did include a picture, a white kitten with a black firearm and some Spider-Man dolls on the side, sitting in a lounge chair. Like, why on earth? I wouldn't care what our job is. If we work at a Fortune 500 company, if we work at a paperclip factory, if we work on the stock exchange, why are you sending me a picture of a cat with a handgun? What's the logical answer to that question? Gavin DeBecker, the gift of fear. This is the type of individual who will come shoot up the environment. No politics in the workplace, even with other non-white people, even with other black people. I wouldn't, even if you have a super rapport with them. Alexa, monitoring, nosy non-white people, nosy racists. It's no reason to discuss politics in the workplace. Listen, max, you ask a question. Other folks who dialed in that we missed totally, if you have commentary, line should be open. Proceed.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Gus. Hi to all the other callers. I called last week, and I was the one that admitted to other white people at the job that I thought that Trump would win. So now I'm calling up with an update on what happened. So after that, I was out of work for an emergency compensatory call, and I'll talk about that later. So I was out of work during the time of the November 3rd of the election. So I didn't come in until afterwards. So I come into work, and I had some time to think about it, you know, while I was out. I had some time to think about me opening up and saying that Trump is – that I think that Trump is going to win. So I felt bad. And then I was also, not only was I ashamed, I must admit, I was also afraid. I was afraid for my job, for the job, not my job, the job. So I come in and I kind of want to get it over with. I walk in and white guy number one, he's sitting down, he's smirking. So I just went up to him and I was like, so Joe won, just to get it out of the way. And he says, oh, I forgot that you even said anything. But he said it like in a really fake, like a fake tone, like, whatever. And I was like, okay, right. So I'm sitting down at the desk. White guy number two comes in smiling and laughing and practically skipping. He comes over to me and he's like, oh, I knew America wasn't racist. No, correct. No, this is what he said. You thought that America wasn't, what did he say exactly? Okay, he said, you thought, I wrote it down, so I won't get it. You thought that America was racist. And I said, I've never said that. And he's like, yeah, but we voted him out. That was his response. He like completely ignored what I just said, because I didn't say that. I just said I thought that Trump would win. And then he said, you want lunch? I'm buying. He has never, we have worked together for 3 years. He has never offered to buy me lunch before. I said, no, I'm on a diet. I said, no, thank you, I'm on a diet. And that was the end of that. So, yeah, that's it as far as my workplace racism.
Wow. Doesn't get any better than tacky. We just pile up the tackiness. Now, all of a sudden, now we can go get lunch so that I can gloat. And see there how they will add on things that you never said. You thought America was racist. That's why I say don't even get into politics and all that, because, you know, that's what they will do. Then you have to, wait a minute, when did I say? Did I say that? I don't recall saying that. You thought America was racist and we voted him out. Wait a minute, I thought most of the white women still, but we voted him out. You are wrong. See, we can go to lunch and talk, but see, you have to have, did you read about Heather Hare? See, like, man, I'm good. I'm fasting for the week. In fact, I'm not eating anything for a long time. Thank you kindly. Like, all of that, like I said, white people will always give us another opportunity to practice our code. So, yeah, but definitely don't feel bad. I can certainly understand you're feeling like, ooh, you know, I might get in trouble. They might try and take some penalties out on me on the job for that. I can definitely feel that, but they might do that anyway. But definitely don't beat yourself up or, you know, feel disappointed, told many folks, because apparently it happened to a whole lot of folks. There's been so much attention on the election that a lot of non-white people got nagged and pressured to respond about the election in some kind of way on the job over the past few weeks. And that's, you know, just human nature. Nothing to feel bad about, nothing to beat ourselves up about. Just we will definitely remember next election season like hard code about no chatting about all this. Maybe I'll ask a question, but I'll remember next time around. We'll probably be here for 2024. See what happens, see if Trump runs again or whatever takes place. But yeah, just learning opportunities, replacing white supremacy with justice is tough. So we are still learning and trying to do our best. Let's see. Let me get trying to knock our emails down as we get through all of this here. Before I get to the next set of callers. Okay. Black female, victim of racism. She writes in. To the parent who needs advice on how to protect their child from the racist suspect teacher, I would consider removing my child from the class and also spending as much time as possible in the school to make your presence felt until the move is secured. Teachers become vindictive. There is that V word. That's exactly what I said last week. Vindictive. And retaliate. I have experienced this from both black and white teachers. I've surmised the experience with two non-white teachers because of the seriousness. Number one, number one, my daughter had what I thought was a school-arranged evening trip to the theater to see The Lion King. Favorite, woo, Whoopi Goldberg. I was contacted by the parent of a girl. Oh, they probably meant the new one. I was thinking, anywho, I was contacted by the parent of a girl who attended the same school who made me aware that the trip, in fact, had been arranged by one of the male teachers, non-white, black male. Wow, they don't even have those. He had also told her daughter that he would pay for the evening out of his own pocket. Both girls were friends and 10 years old at the time. When I spoke to my daughter about it, she said the teacher told her not to tell anyone else at school. She didn't understand it wasn't an official trip, nor did I. I was horrified. I had planned to go along to the trip, which I was accustomed to doing as I saved my annual leave to do so. So the reality is nothing would have happened. However, the teacher was not aware of this as we had not spoken and I was awaiting for more details, again assuming the trip was official. When I explained what happened to the head teacher, she gasped. She then told me they would investigate. I naturally assumed that he would be suspended or the head would remove my daughter from the class. The other child had a different teacher. That did not happen, and he spent the next couple of days trying to intimidate her by making statements during the lesson such as, "Some people are trying to make me lose my job." I insisted that the head teacher move my daughter to a different class, which she did. The head teacher would not let me know the outcome of the investigation, but he did leave the school. Under what terms, I'm not sure. Number two, my daughter suffered from tonsillitis when she was young, and they flared up what seemed like every other week. I dropped her off on sports day, but was in a rush, so I asked her to let her teacher know that I didn't want her to take part in the games, and she had just returned to school after being unwell. It was also a rainy day, and they would only be wearing shorts and vests in the games hall. I did not expect there to be a problem. When we got home that evening, I asked my daughter if she gave the teacher my message and what she said. My daughter informed me that the teacher said, "Don't tell her how to do her job." My daughter was 6 years old at the time, and very literal, she did not know how to lie or soften what was said. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. The next day, I stopped off at the school and questioned the teacher about what she said to my child. I guess she was surprised and made some bumbling excuses. I left for work and didn't plan to say anything more about it as it was close to the end of the school year. However, the teacher decided to be vindictive. She had previously written a glowing interim school report about my daughter. A few weeks before, when I received the final report, it appeared my child had a personality disorder from what was written and that she was often rude to the teacher. I asked for an explanation on the difference between the two reports when I attended Parents Evening. She gave a nervous laugh and mumbled that she knew I would ask about it. She couldn't give me a clear explanation, but what came out during the conversation was that she was, in fact, unhappy with me and had been for some time. The children were sent home with books to read and parents asked to provide written feedback for the teacher. My daughter had been assessed as a fluent reader by her teacher the previous year, also non-white, and she never took offense to my feedback about my child's reading. Her current teacher interpreted my feedback as a critique of her performance, whilst I genuinely thought I was being a good parent to my child and the school. I wrote to the head teacher and sat with him while he read the letter. When I finished, he had the racist cheek to state that the letter was well written and asked if I wrote it. I had to control myself and choose which battle I wanted to fight on the spot, as I was more concerned with my child's school report being corrected, which is what I had asked for as redress. I disregarded his racism. The next time I saw my daughter's teacher, she avoided eye contact with me. Thanks for the platform, Gus. Man, oh man. Like, woo! We talk about, like, all right, before we get to the bedroom, you're cute, I'm cute, love it. Can't wait to get to the bedroom. But, you know, this is what our child is going to be subjected to. So, in the interest of trying to be somewhat responsible, attempted counter-racist parents, let's try to take at least a month, and we'll ponder what our academic plan will look like. Can we do some homeschool? Like, what can we do to avoid this? Because if we don't have that plan, we already know what's going to happen. And it can be worse, like, way worse. Jerry Sandusky, educator. Wow. At minimum, I'll go back to her original suggestions. Remove the child from the class and spend as much time in the classroom as you can to make your presence felt until the move happens. I think she said the white male teacher is going to be gone for a month at least. So I guess for the time being, you know, if you want to hang out with this so-called Latinx substitute and seems she's a better teacher and more responsive to the non-white students. So I guess things are somewhat resolved. But if the white male teacher is going to be back, like, yeah, my child needs to be out of the class, if not out of that school entirely. And hopefully at least that'll be one benefit of the Rona. If he's doing some sort of remote learning, that can continue, and yeah, he can flourish and do well there and not have to worry about racist TJ and all the rest. Let's see. Oh, and she had one update. Let's make sure we get that out. The breakout groups. Breakout groups in Zoom happen like they do in real-life seminars. You can have a subgroup get together in a breakout session, then rejoin the main group after an allotted time, for example, 10 minutes. This is managed electronically by the Zoom meeting host. You are all technically still on the same Zoom call. See, that's what I was thinking. Like, I know that's, yeah, the type of thing where you would be at a meeting, and this is not a type, we're done, you can leave type of situation. Like, no, we're still on the call. We might be in smaller groups, but we're still here. Like, that's what I thought my understanding of it was. So, yeah, like, why would that be the cue that, yes, now is the time that, old Jasmine, I can unzip my pants and break it. Like, come on, come on, come on. And then we need a month to think about, now, should we fire him? Run of his life. The People versus O.J. Simpson. I can't wait. Woo. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in that we have missed totally. If you have commentary to share, proceed. Rob in SoCal. Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus, callers and listeners. Pretty tough question. From the email, as far as teaching a 5-year-old not to have white friends. And so I'm a pretty direct person, and when I took the direct approach, I was told that I was teaching my children to hate white people. But I don't regret my approach. I remember a specific podcast of a caller asking Millie Stewart Jr., like, how do you talk to kids about racism? And he simply said, tell them the truth. So I don't know if that was helpful or not, but my approach has always been just being direct. And I think that every parent and child relationship is different. So the direct approach may differ in each scenario. Reporting on the workplace situation from San Diego, work in the restaurant, and tomorrow San Diego citywide is going back to, well, not back to, but all restaurants can only operate outside dining. So that is going to look very different, specifically in the restaurant that I work in. It is a Korean all-you-can-eat establishment. A Korean all-you-can-eat barbecue establishment, and it is grills set up on the table, like in the booths. So, like, the raw meats come out, and the customer cooks their own food. And moving into the November and December months, the weather is cooler in Southern California. Like, it's not cool like Chicago, Wisconsin cold, but it's, you know, 50, 60 degrees some day. So, it's, you know, it's a little cooler. So it's going to be very interesting to see if the establishment, if the establishment that I work in can sustain itself during this period. My observation is that with it being such a strong Asian population out here, I suspect that even with the outside, just the establishment being only able to operate outside, I suspect that they will still operate at a maximum capacity. With that being said, employees' hours will be cut. And so with me being the only black person in this establishment and, my hours already have been getting cut, I will be very interested to see what my work schedule looks like in the upcoming weeks. And with that, I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Much obliged. Rob in California, formerly Wisconsin. I do recall Mr. Fuller saying that, just tell them the truth, you know, don't let that, you know, really being the central point of his emphasis, don't lie, that's the system of white supremacy is primarily maintained through deception. Don't lie. Tell them the truth. And just answer their questions. They'll ask. He said a lot of times, you know, we end up lying to them and extinguishing their curiosity, but don't lie. Tell them the truth. They'll ask. When they ask questions, answer them truthfully. That is happening throughout the so-called country in terms of diners and places where people are going to go eat. Are they going to be open? Is it going to be eat outside type of thing? Is that even going to be feasible? Now, I mean, he is about as far south as you can go in the U.S. I mean, maybe Miami, I guess there's about one. But, I mean, other than those locations, you can't get much further south. Hard to get much warmer than that. So, I mean, if they're having thoughts about what, you know, winter and the next 3-4 months are going to look like, if they are restricted to outdoor dining, like, wow, New York, Chicago, Washington State, even Washington, D.C., like, it will be substantially colder than 50 degrees in all of those other locations. Even Georgia, I don't think, like, I lived in Atlanta, like, I think it's substantially cooler than 50 degrees in the wintertime in Atlanta. Even right now, it doesn't have to be winter. So, yeah, that and we didn't hear good old black male privilege that old Rob in Wisconsin, excuse me, from Wisconsin now in California, that he will be the last one to be let go. We didn't hear that. Surprise. Let's see. The number again is 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I just wanted to make sure I got in really quick as well before we nab some of our other folks we haven't heard from at all. Like, man, I don't have offspring. That is a job. If you have offspring and they're in like a public school setting, whatever it is, like, be diligent. I'm so impressed. We've had so many parents who are talking about going up to the school and being there repeatedly and being there to observe classes and things, like A+. Like, that's what you have to do. And just being taking time off from work. We even had our mom who wrote in to say that she had her daughter, they're supposed to be taking a trip, gonna go see The Lion King. And hey, I took time off from work so I can go accompany, do it. That's, I mean, wow. A+. Like, making your child's academic development a priority. But I mean, that is a horror story for real. Like, woo. You sign up and think this is like an official trip, permission slip, whole group is going, and what? This is something hidden? Woo. Like, the dangers abound. Like, that is a full-time job. You have to be integrally involved in your child's academic development. Like, be there, know the classroom environment, sit in on some classes, be a regular staple there. And, I mean, that has an impact on your child as well, where they can see that, hey, and that's a great opportunity to explain. Mom, why are you always up at the school? It's embarrassing. Got you hanging out in the class. Hey, they mistreat black children all the time. Like, whoa, I wish it was the sort of environment where I could just, you know, give you a big hug and a kiss and catch you later. But wow, it is super dangerous. And I would just share some of the reports. I mean, you know, be age appropriate, but just share some of the report. Jerry Sandusky, if I had a child, if they were 8, 9, 10 years old, you heard Rob in California say, tell the truth. Oh, yeah. They would know who Jerry Sandusky is. Like, it would be a long list of them. Mary Kay Letourneau, how we're going to live in Seattle and think you don't know who Mary Kay Letourneau, the late, is that the way I'm supposed to say? The late Mary Kay Letourneau, and think I'm not going to be up at the school paying attention to what's happening here? Come on. They probably have the Mary Kay Letourneau monument here, and see, they'll put it next to the Jimi Hendrix statue on Broadway. Everybody knows who Mary Kay Letourneau is. That'll be a homework assignment if you don't know who that is. Cowbell. Let's see. Other folks that we missed totally. If you have a hand up, line should be open.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I hope everyone's having the best evening they can have. I'm sorry for those who have children who are going through those situations. I am not a parent. However, I have been somebody's child all my life. I was not adopted. I've been told several times it was a conscious decision to have me. The people were in love, and I am the product of that love. The people are not together, but I was been told I was wanted. You know, my mother wanted the girl. Bam, she was done. With that being said, I think you said, be direct and, like you said, plan things. I heard one of the callers, you know, I think they said they just apply osmosis, you know, VGQ. Is this something you want your child to know? Osmosis is not the way to go. I didn't say it just to rhyme, but that's just not what you do. I have had to learn a lot of things about osmosis. And while I still love my parents dearly, I have to admit I have some resentment because some of these things I know they should have taught me. When I'm 30 and 40, now I'm hearing stories of this happened when I was young, and all these racist things. I'm like, why didn't you tell me when I was a child? I went to a white middle and high school. I mean, you know, could have let a daughter know. So please be direct. Not that the children won't love you, they will understand that you did the best that they can, that you did the best that you could do. But if you know there are certain things you want them to know, and not just racism, they have to know other things to help them combat racism. They have to know the finances, you know, balancing the checkbook, things like that, so that when they are at work and money's missing, it's because they weren't paid properly. That happened to me. You know, I know how to count things like that. I'm like, no, I'm not getting paid properly. There's an issue. You know, there are some things I did see. I did see them go to work every day. So, yeah, I know I'm supposed to go to work. But, you know, how to deal with the people at work, if there are conflicts and things like that. You know, I think maybe black parents think the information they have, they learned over the years, is invaluable. But it is, and your children want to know. You know, like you said, tell them at their level, at their pace, at their speed. They want to know and they need to know. Do not leave things you know they need to know. I don't care if it's just learning how to wash dishes and wash clothes. Do not leave those things to chance. I personally think I suck as an adult. No, I'm not a criminal. I haven't killed anybody. But there are a lot of things that I'm kind of old to learn that's through osmosis, and since it's hard to catch up, I think certain things will not happen for me because some things were not explained to me directly. And don't just think because your child gets good grades that your child is smart. Just because they know how to follow directions doesn't mean, you know, oh yeah, they'll get it in time. You don't know how much time they have, and you don't know how much time you have to explain things to them. Thank you.
Something you want your child to know, osmosis is not the way to go. Be direct about racism. Right on. They don't do fire safety through osmosis, I guess for comparison's sake. I don't think they do fire safety through osmosis. They get real direct about fire safety. Some of the other, like, major hazards, we get real specific, precise. Other folks that we missed totally, if you have questions, comments, anybody we missed totally?
May I be heard?
Greetings, caller in Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I want to start out with my first report. And this is interesting because me and another victim, we just had the small tropical storm come through the area. Ada, I think that's what the name of it is. So supervisor sends a group text to the bulk of the department, and she sends me individual text saying that, oh, well, since I don't have to go to the post office, which was yesterday, the 12th, they're not going to do any phone calls or emails, so you don't have to come in. It's going to be administrative pay. Okay? So I just respond. I just say, thanks. All right? So, I was thinking of how the white people, how that was going to go with white people. All right? And they didn't really bring it up too much. But I thought that was very interesting. I think it could have come from my reports that I've been making, emails I've been sending. I think they're becoming more effective. So this morning when I got in, this goes to my second one. There were flies buzzing all over the place. And this goes back years on the cow, like where they had a rodent problem, rat problem. So decomposing vermin, rats, and everything. There was a rat in the administration area. I guess they came and got the rat or whatever, but the residual flies still were all over the place. That was another report. And on top of that, a double whammy is the clique, you know, the ladies in the department, they brought in Krispy Kreme donuts and other food items to so-called celebrate someone's birthday, November birthdays. So now you got flies all over the place. You know, we swatting flies, whatever. But mostly it was on the other, you know, people's side, the white people's side, okay? And what I noticed is that there was an email that was sent, and it had my name and the other black female's name in it. So now they already know that I don't sign birthday cards. I don't participate in none of that mess. So, this is the person that had Don't Tread on Me on a Jeep. So they obviously must have been talking about that. So maybe that's to compensate to make it look like she can be generous. But they know, you know, I'm not going to participate in that. So another report is the black female janitor that they don't even acknowledge because they're racist. Click. I hear a voice say to the black female, "Hey, come and sing with us. Come and sing happy birthday with us." And the victim says, "Well, whose birthday is it? I don't know whose birthday it is." Like, basically, y'all don't talk to me. Y'all don't say anything to me, really, you know? So I'm like, oh, man, they are desperate. You know, they can't get me in there. So I think what they try to do is they compensate, try and victimize another black person. So she went in there and sung with them or whatever. And I don't know if they all sat in there, ate together or whatever it was. But the victim of racism that works in the department, they didn't even wait for her to come to even do the singing. So, like, I'm paying attention to all of this stuff. And then they tend to send the two new white people to, at certain times and intervals, I think they do it at certain times of the hour, like every hour in patterns, where they'll send the female and she'll come over with the headset and try to dialogue with the black person, with the black female. But her approach is different. They talk about certain type of feminine things. And then sometimes the guy will come over there and he'll say, "Oh, well, why are you so quiet? You know, why aren't you talking with us? You know, why aren't you more happy or whatever? You're Sadie McSadder or whatever." You said some kind of a play name or whatever, which is interesting in and of itself. And she said, "No, I just, you know, I'm just going to just be to myself and get my work done." And I appreciate that response. But I think that they are thinking that I'm starting to influence her. I'm starting to get her to mature more because they don't stop where I'm at. It's not going to work on me. So let's go to the other victim. That's what I think that's what they're doing. I have one last thing I want to read. It's from after the election. One of the people from the clique, they made a post, and it reads, "If you truly believe that a change in a president is going to change people's hate for others, then you are mistaken. Just because there is someone else sitting in that White House is not going to stop some whites hating blacks or gays or whatever, or blacks hating police." Now, she says some whites, but when it's black people, period. So it continues. It says, "You blame everything on Trump being in office when really it was just you. So the next 4 years should be fun. I'm not political. I love everyone. White, black, police, gay, Latin, etc. This is just my opinion." And the leader of the clique responds saying, "Well said, exclamation." And actually, one thing I wanted to add, the mask, I think that's interesting as well. I saw one of the bailiff's security guards wearing, I guess they call it the Blue Lives Matter, the blue and black and white flag on the mask. I thought that was interesting. And that's all I have. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Wow. Like, that's pretty flagrant, like, propaganda in the workplace. Like, a lot of workplaces, that shouldn't even be allowed. Like, I don't, if he had a mask and it had Black Lives Matter on it, I'd say the same thing. Like, you can't be at the courthouse with that sort of, like, flagrant propaganda. Like, get an American flag, that's about it. But, I mean, yeah, that is totally inappropriate. No Black Lives, no political statements. Like, blank mask, that's it. Wear that on your own time. Like, I guess glad he didn't try to shank you, I guess. We'll take what we can get in the good state of Florida. Let's see. So in addition to the Rona, they have vermin at the courthouse, flies, and Krispy Kreme donuts. That alone would be reason enough. As I've said, it's probably not eat time on the job for a billion different reasons. We are swatting flies left and swatting flies in December. Now it's Florida, so I guess, okay. But I mean, whoa, we're swatting flies indoors, and it's almost Thanksgiving. But why are the flies here? Oh, we had an old dead rat carcass in the room. What? We got a rat carcass in the courthouse. Like, come on. Come on. Like, we got to do better. It's 2020. Like, and I mean, that's a lot of work environments where they have, you know, pest problems and rodent problems, especially if you work someplace where it's an older building. Like, ooh-wee. Like, that sort of thing is regular. So, as I said, we shouldn't really think of the workplace as, ooh, a Krispy Kreme donut day or birthday, anything, really. Like, I mean, for about 8 minutes, again, this was, you know, in place before the Rona. Like, even if there had been no rodent problem, even if there was no Rona, I think he still was, I'm a pass on the Krispy Kreme donuts. Thank you. Like, I don't sign the birthday cards, and yeah, I don't do the pastries, thank you kindly. Like, that's, you know, basic counter-racist code. Then you're going to add all the other ones? Come on. Let's see. The whole birthday, because if you just say, not into all the birthday thing, come on. Don't even stop over here with all that. You know I don't do all that. So they go harass another black person. Come on over and sing happy birthday. But she said, well, whose birthday is it? Who is it now? Jean. Jackie, that's who it is. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. How old is she? Like, what? I don't know these people. Y'all don't kick it with me at all. Like, just come grab a black person to come sing with us. And matter of fact, that's another one. Rona. Social distancing. They said, I've heard it repeatedly, when you do all that talking, and they said singing specifically, when you do all that talking, you're expelling more vapors and Rona particles. You know, you should try to avoid that if you're going to be in big groups and such. Even if you got a mask on, try to minimize all that talking and yelling and singing. So, I mean, hey, Rona, still distancing. Come on now. Not trying to have another lockdown. That alone, much less, like, no, I don't do birthdays, all that. I don't do my birthday. No, I don't want any Krispy Kreme donuts. We just, come on. Come on. Let's see. Sadie McSad. I had to write that one down. I mean, we do say no name calling, you know, but I mean, wow, that is a whole new level of nickname. Sadie McSad. And it's the same premise that they'll come and do all that now. Oh, we got old grumpy Negro. What's wrong with you? Cheer up. Come on and joke with us, fella. Have a good time. Let's put the Rona pass. We'll get through it. Come on. You see, you've been talking to that old grumpy Negro. That's what it is. He's been influencing you, telling you about, see, that we're trying to get rid of him. If you see him doing anything, we will get him out of here. Don't you let him have you walking around here being all Sadie McSad. Like, it's a great day in Florida. Like, are you serious? They don't blame it on me. I'm influencing other people to be quiet. Mum in the workplace. Like, come on. Come on. Like, and even to come and call me such a name, like, that would be one immediately. My name is not Sadie McSad. In fact, might not even dignify a response. I'm on the phone or work. What's wrong, Sadie McSad? Don't have to say a word. Keep right on rolling, like, on the phone or whatever. Are you? I'm talking, hey, man, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. You speaking to me? Oh. Didn't know. I didn't know we had someone here. What is it? Sadie? I don't know who you were talking to.
Yeah, you seem sad. Oh, it's been a wild year, but yeah, I'm getting through. That's another reason why I said you always say, I'm right poorly. I'm never doing well. Man, it's tough. I can't get a raise, and the Rona is running wild. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? That would be how I always respond when they come around. Oh, we got money. We're going to get Krispy Kreme. And oh, man, I'm struggling. Madam, can I borrow $3? Like, I'm always having a tough time. So if they come, oh, saddy McSad, man, it's rough. I'm just trying to get through. Whew, it's been a tough year. That would be my response. The same way I think Emmy, she said about the exams. They come and ask her, oh, how'd you do on this? Oh, my God, that was the toughest exam I ever took. Whew, I can't even talk. Could have got 100 on the exam and all the extra credit. That's always the response I give. It's always rough. Saddy McSad. Let's see. The social media. Wow. So they go on. We're mistaken. You think all this was Trump. You think this is going to stop some white people from hating black people. You are mistaken. Well, thank you. I didn't think that way to begin with. All the, some white people. And obviously not you, because she makes sure we get that. Hey, I love everybody. You know, the gay people, the white people, police officers, black people, white people, LGBT. I thought she was going to throw the polka dot, the purples, the aliens. I thought we were going to get there too. Mm-hmm. But I love everybody, you know, just everybody. But if you think you're just going to sit around and blame Trump for everything, well, you are going to have fun for the next 4 years. Especially in the state of Florida. Like, well, we have been. I wonder, who are you talking to exactly? Who do you think has sat around and blamed everything on Trump? I don't know. That's so interesting to take that sort of stance in Florida, where Trump did win, so I guess you got a lot of people who they came out, well said. Right on, sister. Tell it. Preach. Like, I guess that was a common sentiment around Polk County and the greater Florida area, that, yes, we just sat around and blamed Trump and hating white people. We had the caller earlier who's, yeah, sitting there saying that America is racist. Man, blaming everything on Trump. Damn, we voted him. As I said, no talking politics in the workplace. There's no benefit. And I didn't hear anybody. We heard a whole lot of people the last 2 weeks who said that they messed up, that if they had it to do over again, they wouldn't have said anything about politics. We're all still learning. No big deal. But none of those folks, not a one, said, I got a raise. I got a promotion. I got an extra free week of vacation for sharing my views on the election, politics, any of that. Like, not one person said any of that. That's what I mean. It's no reason. It's no pet. So they can think of you as the grumpy Negro who's probably infecting the other black people on the job site. That is like the maximum you can get. Maybe. Or the other side, what we heard from the female listener who said, oh, man, I told them Trump was going to win, and then they came in. Ha, 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 told you. America's not racist. Now let's come on out and have lunch so I can gloat about you being ignorant. Like, wow, that's what I get. And from a white man who has never hung out or offered lunch ever, now we can go to lunch on my dime so I can gloat. Tell you that America is not racist, which he never said. Does not get any better than tacky. I would say keep writing the reports if you think it's being effective, and they think it's so effective that it might be infecting the other black people on the job. Oh, yeah. Like, definitely. Keep making the reports. Keep documenting. Like, do more of it. Try to get more, you know, refined as you go about if it seems to be having that type of impact. Let's see, did we get everybody? Did we nab everybody? Is anybody who has a hand up that we missed totally? We got everyone? Yes? spectacular. Anybody have anything they need to get in last 30 seconds before we wrap up?
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida.
Oh, really quick, Gus. I know you mentioned Ice Cube. There was an elevator incident report where a white man says to this person, I guess who he's calling Latin, he says, "You look like a Latin Ice Cube," to this female. And he turns to me, getting off of the elevator. He asked me, "Have you ever seen a Latin Ice Cube?" I said, "No, I haven't." And I went on about my day. But I jot that one down. I mean, but they, you know, they happen just fast like that sometimes. But that's all I had to report.
Now, see there? We had Mo in Dallas. Now, he did say it was, unfortunately, a victim of racism, who is known for being, I guess, a toxic black male in the workplace. But he comes, "Hey, do you know what rapper you remind me of? Remember old Bismarcky?" And we get the Latin Ice Cube. I don't even know what that is. That would be a reason to be Sadie McSad. Now, if I got to go through my workplace all day long and we can't even follow the rules and guidelines to stay safe from the Rona because we got to have Krispy Kreme parties and dodge dead rodents, and then I got to be called the Latin Ice Cube. And that would be a reason to be Sadie McSad. Yeah, absolutely. But does not get any better than Tacky. That would be another reason. Do not get into all the politics and all that. Don't get into any of the gossip and snickering. If they're coming, because a lot of times I know when I was confused, and other people I think have said this too, when we were confused about racism, somebody comes up and says something to you like that. I'm like, "Oh, the Latinx goes out, that's my car. And then when they come back the next time around, and it's, "Oh man, you're like, you remind me of Rick Ross." I'm like, "What?" It's like, "Oh, you thought it was funny last week when I told you we came in and I told you Pedro, he's like the Latin Ice Cube." I think everybody, I'm telling, you know, different rappers that I think, you know, people look like. I told Theodore he looks like Foxy Brown. See, now, can't get upset about it. Just got to roll with it. Don't laugh. Don't snicker. It's not funny. You almost had, because he said, out of nowhere, we're just on the elevator. We go like, "What? What are you talking about? Is Ice Cube here? Are we doing court documents?" Or that type of tackiness, just expect it. It is rife, unfortunately, a lot of victims of racism. We have a whole culture of tackiness. And go in, and particularly tackiness directed at black people in a work environment. So you just expect that. So I don't come in thinking that people are going to have wonderful and complimentary things to say about my work in a classy manner. I don't expect that. I expect this sort of just at any moment, without provocation, something rude, something nasty, what they call an off-the-cuff remark about myself or another person. In many instances, the best response, nothing, document. And or he was asked a question, you can answer, no laughing, no giggling, document, and keep it pushing. Rife with tackiness in the workplace. The best you can hope for is, "You know, you remind me of Bismarcky." Indeed. That will wrap us for this week's program. We should be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We should also be here on Sunday for the Global Sunday Talk, the irregular time in the afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon Pacific. We'll check in. Our folks across the globe get to see what they think now they've called the election, President-elect Joe Biden, see what they think and how that's been reported in different parts of the globe, as well as the Rona. I've been hearing that, you know, from lots of folks around the world, just reading in the news and what have you, but increased restrictions and all of that. So, yeah, we'll see really wacky end to 2020. See if they heard about Jeff Toobin as well. That I am going to have to ask about that because I have not heard. Like, is that sort of thing happening around the world as well? Like, people getting in trouble for stuff happening on Zoom or the conferences being interrupted and all? Is that happening, like, everywhere? Germany, France, are they struggling with that too? Like, penises all over the Zoom? We'll ask about that this coming Sunday also. Anywho, much obliged to all the folks who participated. Hope it was worthy of your Friday evening. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We are going to need our brain computer working at a really efficient level to get this problem solved. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled again. I would recommend hunkering down. I'm doing the same thing. I'm practicing what I preach, as they say. Hunkering down. I'm not out ripping and running in the streets. Get what you need and bing, set it down. It has been a really wacky year for many, many reasons. Not interested in being out and squabbling with folks about a mask or the election or Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, anything else, frankly. Like, you can have all of that. We'll catch you down the road. Stay safe. If it seems like, you know, somebody is being rowdy, and that I saw that this week. I told you, I tried to hunker down. I was going to the grocery store. I was very singular in my mission, like, get this broccoli, get this cauliflower, getting out of here. Didn't even get to the entrance. Just right there in the parking lot. The white man, car was going by, and the car stopped, right? No big issue or what have you, for us to walk to cross so we could get in the front door. And we cross, and the white guy, he turns around, and he's talking to whoever the motorist was. He says, what's wrong with you? Man, that's what I say. Everybody's all in a hurry and all that. Where are you going? And he's cursing and flim flar and flam and fling fling fling. And I'm looking, and I immediately stop, distance, super distance. Like, whoa, is he going to turn around and shoot up the parking lot? Like, what is going on? Like, and he keeps muttering and cursing. Like I said, now the motorist, he stopped. We safely crossed and drove off. So he's not even there anymore. And he's still flim, flam, florid, and flim, flimity, flam, florid, florid. Stop 50 yards of distance. Let him go on his way. And hurry up and get out of here. I've seen way too much of that this year. This is the type of white person that I would think, oh, yeah, I would suspect he is armed and ready to do damage. We are not looking to have any sort of verbal confrontations with any white people or non-white people under these circumstances. Like, everything is about risk aversion. Again, so if we have to go out, like, this is essential and, you know, got to do this, we're going to be safe doing it. Man, we are sober, buckled, super alert of our surroundings, and if you are driving, you are not on the cell phone, trying to do just the small things to distance ourselves from the Amber Geigers, Daniel Holtzclaws of the known universe, just little things that we can. Additionally, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. No name calling. Might be hard sometimes. No name calling. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.